Live and local, we are Acadiana's sports station. 103.7 The Game. KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parks III talks sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Raging Cajun legend Brian Mitchell.
My dream was always to play in the NFL, so having an opportunity was the main thing I needed.
LSU College World Series hero Warren Morris.
I don't get tired of talking about it. You know, if people remember me for that home run and winning that championship, I think that's great.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now. Now,
good morning. Welcome to RP3 and Company. I'm your host, Raymond Parks III, and you're listening to Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. We're also simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. That's free over there, 24-hour sports coverage. And you can find us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. So, nothing happened of note over the weekend, right? Nothing at all? Nothing happened? Antonio Brown got his wish, got released. Off he went. Now he's with the New England Patriots. First week of the NFL season is in high gear. Things will wrap up tonight with the Monday night doubleheader, including the New Orleans Saints hosting the Houston Texans at 6 o'clock. You listen to both Monday night football games, Texans at Saints, Broncos at Raiders, right here on 103.7 The Game, courtesy of Westwood One. The pregame for the Saints-Texans will begin at 5:30. The UL Raging Cajuns got their first win of the season as well, pulling away from Liberty in the second half in convincing fashion as they rolled up a absolute bevy of rushing yards. But the story over the weekend is a man and the team that have played themselves into contention early on here for the Heisman Trophy, as well as a spot in the college football playoff. And that, of course, the man is Joe Burrow. The team are the LSU Tigers. I predicted that LSU would win. I predicted that LSU would put up a lot of points. I had no idea whatsoever. None. That Burrow and LSU would put up as many points as they did in that game against the University of Texas on Saturday night. Burrow passed for 471 yards. As LSU picked up its first non-conference road victory over an AP top 10 team in program history. Once again, LSU had never defeated a team ranked in the top 10 on the road that was not part of the SEC conference. Part of the SEC, rather. Never happened. It happened in pretty spectacular fashion on Saturday night. It was LSU's first trip to Austin since 1954, and it was a back-and-forth affair. The two teams actually combined for 56 points in the final 30 minutes. Including 39 in the fourth quarter there at Darrell K. Royal Texas Memorial Stadium. But when it counted most, Burrow stepped up. When it counted the most, he threw a touchdown that helped seal the victory. That was a huge completion to Justin Jefferson, who had a monster game himself. Burrow was 31 of 39 for 471 yards, four touchdown passes. LSU had three receivers record more than 100 yards in a single game for the first time ever. Just not this decade. Just not the last 20 years. Not this generation. No. First time in program history. Jefferson had 9 catches for 163 yards with 3 touchdowns. He now has 6 touchdowns in 2 games. Jamar Chase had 8 catches for 147 yards. And Terrace Marshall Jr. had 6 catches for 123 yards and a touchdown. Burrow's 471 passing yards on Saturday night in Austin is the second most in LSU history behind Rohan Davies' phenomenal performance at Alabama back in 2001 when Rohan Davies threw for 528 yards. Just absolutely monstrous. Tigers trailed only once in the game, 7-3 in the opening quarter. This game, by the way, featured only one punt in the second half, and that was on the first drive of the third quarter. Absolutely ridiculous. As for all of the talk about DBU, not a lot of defense in this game. Texas quarterback Sam Ellinger, meanwhile, completed 31 of 47 passes for 401 yards with 4 touchdowns. And Devin Duvernay, his top receiver, had 12 catches for 154 yards and 2 touchdowns. Ellinger also had 60 yards rushing and a touchdown. So the Texas quarterback had a 5-touchdown performance, and he rolled up 461 yards himself. Despite it becoming NCAA football game set on the easy level, which they don't make anymore, it was a heck of a game and a heck of a win for the Tigers. That's what Joe Burrow had to say about that last drive. They got aggressive. They went for it. They didn't get conservative like they would have done in years past. They were aggressive, and it paid off in a big way.
They were playing so well on the other side of the ball. We knew we were going to have to score again. I kept telling our guys, you know, we got to score. We got to get 40 and we'll win. 40 and we'll win. And so we went into that last drive aggressive, and it paid off for us.
Got aggressive. Knew it was going to pay off. Just went right after them. Got to love the aggressiveness by the offense. Could put the game away. They did. There wasn't any hesitation. There wasn't any, well, they didn't hem and haw and go, well, I don't know if this is what we should do. And they didn't get ultra conservative and let the other team win the game or steal the game away from them, as we saw towards the tail end of Les Miles' tenure when he had Cam Cameron as his offensive coordinator. That's what Coach Ed Orgeron had to say about his quarterback's performance on Saturday night.
To win this game in that type of atmosphere gives us a lot of confidence in our football team because, you know what, we're going to come against some opponents just as good or better, and we have to go on the road and win like that. But I think that the more that he matures in this offense, the better off we're going to be.
The more he matures in this offense, how much more is he going to mature? Had the second most passing yards in program history Saturday night. Guy was unreal. Joe Burrow was just unreal. That's what Coach O had to say about his wide receiver. You know, Jefferson just was the most reliable target last season for LSU. Developed quite a rapport with Joe Burrow, and that paid off huge Saturday night there in Austin.
We thought that in the game plan that we could create some mismatches, we could create some one-on-ones. When they had zone coverage, there was a bunch of holes there. You know, when you blitz, there's going to be holes in the coverage. We had to protect for some time. We didn't protect, but when we did protect, there was big holes there.
Coach O said that he feels like his team now that they feel like they're a contender, not only for the SEC, but for a national championship?
You know, I don't know. I know that we have a good football team. I've always felt like we had a good football team. But you know what? There's some things we got to get better on defense. We can't give up 38 points to get where we want to go. And we got some one-on-one mismatches. We didn't get enough for us. We missed some tackles. Some of our best players missed some tackles. So we got to get better and take it one game at a time. We have to be hungry. We have to be humble and look at the things that we did wrong and get better at.
Look at the things that did wrong and get better at. Defensively, I mean, they got torched. Make no doubt about it. But when you get to a certain point in a game, when you realize that this is going to be a shootout, there's nothing really that your defense can do. You get tired. Offenses are just running up and down the field. I mean, once again, second most passing yards in a single game since Rohan Davey torched Alabama for more than 500 yards back in 2001. It's the first time in LSU history that they had three different wide receivers record 100-plus yards in a game. Offensively, what else do you want to see out of your team? And this is not what we've seen for years. Even early on during Ed O's tenure, love running that ball. They are opening it up. Wide open, spread formation, chucking it around the field type of offense. They have embraced this. And he tried to tell us that this is what they were going to be. And he tried to tell us that it was going to be like this. That they were going to really be a spread team. And people even asked him, Coach, are you really going to be a spread team? And he's like, yeah. He wasn't wrong. He was not wrong. Because if this is what they're going to bring to the table, game after game, week after week, there's some crimson and white people, fanatics over there in T-Town that should be worried. Because if this offense, you realize Joe Burrow is playing at a ridiculous level. Now, will he get as much run this coming week against Northwestern State? No. You'll see Joe Burrow play a half. There'll be a lot of Miles Brennan in the second half. I can guarantee you that. There'll be a lot of running the ball in the second half. I can guarantee you that. There won't be 450 yards passing on Saturday against the poor demons of Northwestern State when they come to town. No. This is, okay, starters, you got your reps? Great. Second team, come on down. Time for you to get some more game reps just like you did against Georgia Southern. Most passing yards in a game in LSU history. If you look at the list, top six, Joe Burrow has two of those, and he's done it in his last three games. The 392 that he threw on Saturday is sixth best. At that time, it was sixth best. Then, obviously, he ended the night even more so. Remember, Burrow threw for 394 yards against UCF in the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl. The list of most passing yards in a game in LSU history is obviously topped by Rohan Davey versus Alabama in 2001. Then it's Rohan Davey again. Then Tommy Hodson, Joe Burrow. Like, the game featured the second most combined yards, 1,103, in a game LSU football has been involved in. Ever. The most was the 1997 game at Kentucky, where there was nearly 1,200 yards of offense. Four touchdowns, 471 yards, 31 of 39 for Joe Burrow. Guy has to be in the mix now for the Heisman Trophy. Will he keep up this torrid pace? I don't know. But the Heisman's all about big moments. It's all about a late push as well. But it's all about big moments. Primetime game, college game day in the house. LSU had never beaten a top 10 team on the road, not in the SEC. Number 6 versus number 9. And you step up with a performance like that, where you throw for 471 yards and 4 touchdowns. You put your name in the conversation. And we said it before the start of the season. Could Joe Burrow be an all-SEC type of quarterback this year, despite playing in a conference with Tua out of Alabama, Jake Fromm out of Georgia, and people were giving Kellen Mond out of Texas A&M more love? I think you need to be reconsidering where Joe Burrow is going to end up in the all-SEC conversation. And if this offense continues to roll up numbers like this, regardless if Joe Burrow plays full games against inferior competition like Northwestern State, no offense to the Demons, I used to cover them, got nothing but love for NSU. But Joe Burrow ain't playing a full game against that team. He should rightfully be in the same conversation as Tua and Jalen Hurts and the others that are being mentioned for the Heisman Trophy. But what a record-setting night for LSU. Will they have any touchdowns left to score come Saturday? Yes. But they went into Austin. They win a shootout. The game was back-and-forth affair. Both defenses got absolutely torched. We can chill the DBU talk for a little while. When you give up nearly 1,200 yards of offense in the game, I don't think anybody needs to be wearing shirts that say we represent DBU. When you're letting quarterbacks guide their offenses to 1,200 yards, it's like an arena league game. I don't want to hear about your defense. Just chill it out with the DBU talk. At least for a little while. We got to chill out with our talk just for a few moments as we take our first time out of the day. More LSU football discussion coming up next. You listen to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Longhorn fans starting to make some noise here in the third quarter. After being quiet most of the second quarter of action, Burrow, home run ball, far side, going up for it, Jamar Chase has it at the 43-yard line of the Longhorns. First down and 10, LSU, the jump ball, Jamar Chase wanted it more against Jalen Green on coverage, and a 42-yard pass play quickly silences the crowd.
Quickly silenced the crowd. Joe Burrow and company did plenty of that on Saturday night in Austin, even though it came at the expense of the Longhorns and, of course, our national treasure, Matthew McConaughey. Welcome back to RP3 and Company, right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Tiger fans, I want to hear from you. You let me know if you feel Joe Burrow should be in the conversation for the Heisman Trophy after two games. Are you that impressed of what you've seen towards the tail end of last year, starting right with that 7-overtime heartbreak against A&M where Joe Burrow went off like a madman, then the bowl game versus UCF, Georgia Southern, and now against Texas on the road? You've seen what this offense could be. You see what Joe Burrow can be, and the addition of Joe Brady to the staff has made a tremendous difference. And this offense looks absolutely like a modern offense, which is, I never thought I'd see the day where LSU's offense actually looked like it belonged in the 21st century. This is what Coach O had to say about the game, what he saw from the sidelines, what he experienced as the head coach of the Fighting Tigers.
What a game. Great night for college football. Give Texas credit. They fought to the very end. That quarterback is a great player. I think he has a phenomenal future. Their receivers played phenomenal tonight. I thought their offense was hard to stop, gave us problems. But how about our offense, man? 573 total offensive yards, 102 rushing, 471 passing. Three receivers over 100 yards. I think that's the first time that's happened in LSU history. Five out of five in the red zone. We were minus one in turnover margin with Denley. Proud of our football team. We fought, man. What an epic battle. Proud of Cade York going out there and make those field goals. Proud of the defense making that goal line stands on there. We don't stop on that goal line right there. That's the difference in the ball game.
That's the difference in the ball game. And look, Coach O said it was great to schedule a team like Texas. Great top 10 matchup it ended up being based on how the two teams finished last season. Now they got a kind of victory, a feather in their cap, so to speak, for the college football playoff committee, taking down a top 10 team on the road out of conference. But Coach O said, as great as that was, he's kind of happy he's facing off against his alma mater on Saturday when Northwestern State comes to town.
I like it. I don't mind. I like it. Hey, we compete. You know, we got to go out there and compete. And last year we had to compete in Miami, you know. And you know, so, but I'm sure glad we're playing Northwestern next week.
Yes. Yeah, you got the season opener out of, you know, boom. You got that out of your system. Boom. Then you go on the road. You face Texas. You win in a shootout. Take care of that. Now you can breathe a little bit, come back home to Tiger Stadium, face off against the Northwestern State Demons. Once again, got nothing but love for the Demons, but for LSU, this is something that you're wanting. Kind of recharge the battery, so to speak, after likely being exhausted from the video game-like shootout that occurred in Austin on Saturday. We got to take a timeout, but when we come back, we'll keep the college football discussion going, but back here at home, Cajun Field. Raging Cajuns picked up the victory. We'll talk about it right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Tonight was a great night for, you know, the whole offense. You know, the O-line blocked well. You know, the receivers played well. Everybody did their job. So, you know, when things, like when we all, clicking and you know, Levi, you know, getting us the ball, we can be a really good team. And, you know, as far as the running backs, yeah, you know, we had another good night. And we just got
on it. That's an understatement that the running backs had a good night. That's former Cecilia High star, current Raging Cajun star running back Raymond Kale talking to members of the media following the Raging Cajuns win on Saturday night, 35-14 over the Liberty Flames. Cajuns overcame a sluggish start, to say the least. It was not great early on. By any stretch of the imagination, this was a tied ball game for the better part of the first half, 14-14. But Cajuns shook off the sluggish start at home, pulled out the 35-14 victory. Both Trey Regis and Raymond Kale rolled up 100-yard games on the road. I mean, on the ground. They overcame the connection of Stephen Calvert to his favorite target, got past that. They overcame Stevie Arteague missing multiple field goals. He did not hit a single field goal. He left 9 points out on the board. Remember, Stevie Arteague, former Lafayette High star, missed all of last season with an injury. So he's trying to get back into form. But they just couldn't stop. Liberty just could not stop the Raging Cajuns' run game. 407 yards on the ground with 3 rushing touchdowns. 6 different players had rushes in Saturday's win. UL played to his strengths. It paid off in a huge way. They got their first victory of the season. Trey Regis, meanwhile, only had 9 rushes, but still rushed for 129 yards, averaging 14.3 yards. Per carry. So they overcame giving up 2 touchdown drives early that the defense was upset about. They overcame their field goal kicker missing 3 kicks, a few of them easy. And Levi Lewis was a little inconsistent in the first half. And yet they still pulled out the victory, their first on the season. Now they're 1-1 overall. This is what Coach Billy Napier had to say about the win over the Liberty Flames.
Great win for our team. You know, I think that at times out there, maybe it wasn't exactly the way you want it to be as a coach, but really, really proud of our defense in terms of how they played after the first possession. and really one misfit on a run, we shut those guys out, which I thought was very impressive. And certainly they were in four down mode a lot in the second half, and to limit those guys to what we did, I thought was impressive by those guys. Really impressed with that. Offensively, almost 600 yards offense.
Almost 600 yards of offense, 407 of it came on the ground. Coach Napier talked about just how good they could be and how amazing they could be as a team.
It's scary to me how good our team could be if we can get those things right. And that's my job as a coach, and that's what we're going to go to work on tomorrow. I'm not going to let those handful of plays maybe tonight that I'm not happy about help keep me from celebrating this win and all the hard work that went into that win. So proud of our team, much work to do. And that's why they call you coach, and that's what we're going to go to work on.
So they got things to work on. There's a few things that they need to work on. The slow starts are a little concerning. They had a slow start against Mississippi State, and then once again, they were sluggish Saturday against an inferior competition like the Liberty Flames, despite being coached by Hugh Freeze right from a converted hospital bear or hospital bed / dentist chair hybrid thing that they created for Hugh Freeze, the former Ole Miss coach, who now coaches the Liberty Flames. This is what Coach Billy Napier had to say about the slow starts in both games for his Cajuns.
Well, it's something that we need to take a good look at, maybe see where we can improve. There's no question about that. I mean, you know, we're quality control this game from top to bottom in all three phases. We played a lot of young players tonight, man. I mean, especially, there's guys out there that maybe it was their first opportunity to play. So this would be a great learning experience for a lot of those guys that maybe played for the first time.
So they get some guys that had some experience, stepped up big. What was big for the Raging Cajuns, though, was that two-minute drive right before the end of the first half. Coach Napier talked about how key that was.
You know, we didn't do that well the first week. You know, I thought Levi did a really good job kind of taking what the defense gave him. We mixed it up a little bit. We kept our timeout in our pocket. We had two even all the way down to the Raymond's run, you know, and to being able to mix it up, run pass option, and throw it a little bit. I thought that's good to see us. Okay, didn't do it well last week. Come back, answer the call this week and do it well. It was a big series in the game, and certainly how we started the second half back-to-back, that's what we didn't do last week, and we did it well this week. So that's good to see, and that's what we're talking about. Those situations that we work on, to see that happen was good, was really good.
He liked what he saw there. Definitely an improvement for UL there in the two-minute drill. And look, they're going to talk about it, and rightfully so, the sluggish starting. He says he's sitting there and telling you that that's something that they're going to have to work on. And it needs to, because they can't afford to start off slow when they get to conference play. They can't afford to do that against the likes of Troy or App State or someone else. If they want to make a run and win not only the Sun Belt Western Division title, but obviously compete for the Sun Belt Conference Championship and actually win it, they can't have a slow start. You can't spot a team like they did. You can't let a team that you're trying to take down hang with you. Because every time you do that, you're going to put yourself in a position to lose the game. And you're going to let one slip through your fingers that shouldn't. They'll work on it. But they got to come out quicker. They got to come out better to start off with. They just have to. Because you can't allow yourself, you can't allow yourself to be in this position and get down. You just can't. Because when you do that, it takes away the strength. And here's the other thing for the Cajuns. If they do that, The strength is their run game. If they allow a team to hang around, or if they allow a team to take a lead on them, that forces them to get out of their bread and butter, which is that three-headed monster attack at running back. Levi Lewis has not played, does not play at a consistent enough level right now for them to be able to, like, yeah, okay, we can rally, we can do this. Maybe they can. Maybe as the season progresses and Levi gets more reps underneath his belt, maybe they'll be able to do that. Absolutely. But as it stands right now, no. And Levi had some good flashes. He had some really good passes to Jamarcus Bradley that resulted in touchdowns, including that 58-yard pass. Okay. That was pretty amazing. But credit Jamarcus on that, because you watch it in person. It was a decent throw. It was a better catch and a far better run after the catch for the big fella. The senior who led the Raging Cajuns and led all receivers on Saturday night with six catches for 110 yards and two touchdowns. This is what Coach Napier had to say about his senior leader on offense.
Simply put, you know, I think Jamarcus is going to play the National Football League. You know, I've coached some great receivers in my day. This guy's up there with the hardest workers I've ever been around. You know, really a high school quarterback who's a self-made receiver. You know, and from the minute we got here, you know, he was in the competition for that job last year and just outworked the guy, won the job. And certainly to see his game start to become more and more detailed, it's fun to watch, man. I'm proud of him for sure.
Jamarcus had six catches for 110 yards, as I said. Receiving yard-wise, the next closest person on the Raging Cajuns had 19. Neil Johnson had one catch for 19 yards. Jamal Bell had three catches for 16 yards. Peter LeBlanc, the former Catholic High of New Iberia star and freshman, had two catches for 10 yards. It was Jamarcus Bradley, and that was it. Levi Lewis had an okay game. Okay game. Can the Raging Cajuns win the Sun Belt Western Division title with Levi Lewis being okay? Yes. Can they win the Sun Belt Conference with Levi Lewis playing okay? No. He has to develop, and he has to develop quickly. He was going up against Liberty, 15 to 23. He only threw for 179 yards, had two touchdowns, but he took two sacks, and he also had an interception. Once again, those are okay numbers. They're not bad numbers, but they're not great. And you got to have a quarterback that gets more of the other wide receivers involved. Because eventually you're going to face a team that's going to just stack up the box against you. And right now, they have a three-headed monster at running back, and they have a tremendous player on the outside in Jamarcus Bradley. Jamal Bell has shown flashes. We don't know about the other guys. Could they be good? Sure, maybe. Are we going to see an opportunity, see them actually pass the ball to them and develop those guys as wide receivers? I don't know. I think it's a fair question. I don't know. What we do know is that their bread and butter is going to be that rushing attack. Trey Regis on Saturday night, nine carries for 129 yards, had the one touchdown. Had another sensational game as UL racked up 407 yards on the ground. By the way, Regis's long of the night was 75 yards, and that was a touchdown run there in the second quarter. So what Regis had to say about himself and the rest of that platoon of running backs, how they performed. They didn't give credit to themselves. He made sure to give credit to the big fellas up front.
I just want to give credit to the O-line. They made a hole for us. The receiver, they blocked down the field, so they made it easy for us to run the ball.
Made it easy for him. It's a smart running back. Give credit to your offensive lineman. Where does this put UL now? They have a team that they should beat. They'll be favored against. Texas Southern comes to town on Saturday at Cajun Field. Out of the SWAC. You love what you see out of the running game. Mitchell, Calais, Regis, great. Offensive line, run blocks with the best of them. Jamarcus Bradley can't be guarded. But there are a couple of questions now that we have after 2 weeks of play. Do they have a kicker? I think that's a legitimate question. I like Stevie Arteague. Good kid. Been a good kicker for the Cajuns. But he's coming off an injury where he missed the entire year. It takes a while to build confidence. He went out there. He missed not one, not two, but missed three field goals Saturday night. Two of them were fairly long, 42 and 44 yards. Another one was only from 38. If the Cajuns want to take that next step, they got to have a guy who can make 44-yard field goals and make 42-yard field goals and make 38-yard field goals, and they have to have the confidence in him. Do I think Billy Napier and his staff are going to make a change? No. They're not the type to be making rash decisions. I'll be stunned if he tells us today at his press conference around lunchtime that they're going to make a change at kicker. But if Stevie Arteague misses field goals against Texas Southern, an inferior opponent, they could, because you're going to need that position locked up. This is what Coach Billy Napier had to say about his kicker and his woes on Saturday night.
I've watched Stevie since spring practice, you know. Sometimes the kicker gets a little bit of too much of the blame. You know, I think the whole operation affected things tonight. You know, I know the snap, the hold, you know, maybe wasn't perfect on those first couple, few miscues. But, you know, we're going to support Stevie. I mean, heck, I made some mistakes tonight too, okay? There's things that I can do better. So Stevie's going to go back to work, man. He'll be fine. And to see him hit some extra points and right down the middle, you know, to get him some confidence there, he'll be just fine as we go forward.
So there you go. Vote of confidence from the head coach. Says, hey, I made some mistakes. They're going to give it time. But if Stevie struggles against inferior competition again, against Texas Southern this week, fully expect them to kick, at least have two field goal attempts come Saturday. Just bank on it. Because they got to know if they have their guy on the roster. They have to know. You can't go against the likes of Troy and App State and Arkansas State in the Sun Belt Conference and have a guy missing field goals. You just can't. Now, can Stevie turn it around? Yeah, kickers, they are wired differently. They always have been. They always will be. They can go from missing three kicks in a game, and as soon as they get their confidence back and they make one kick, boom, it's all washed away. It's like, oh, okay. It's all washed away. So we'll see if Stevie can get back on track against Texas Southern when they come to town on Saturday. We're going to take a quick timeout, but we'll continue the Raging Cajun discussion. When we come back, we're going to focus on the defensive side of the ball. Now, they gave up some points early, but then they clamped things down and looked good the rest of the way. We'll talk about that right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
After we gave up 14, we all looked at each other and was like, "Bro, this is not us at all. You know, we gotta pick it up. We gotta make our plays. Cause we're not playing like ourselves." Second half, we come out. We told our offense they're not scoring no more, and that's exactly what we did.
That's exactly what they did, as they ended up holding Liberty to only 361 yards in Saturday's 35-14 victory. That's Michael Jacquet, the third senior cornerback for the Raging Cajuns. Now, they only held them to 361 yards. They gave up those first early scores there in the first half, and they were able to recover from that. Okay, after they gave up that 66-yard touchdown run by Frankie Hickson, they bounced back and pitched a shutout the rest of the way. Hickson did get the 66 yards. He also rushed for 133 yards on only 18 carries. That's another well over 100-yard rushing performance that the Raging Cajun defense has given up. But they did a nice job on Stephen Calvert, the Liberty quarterback, 21 of 37, 212 yards, sacked him three times, only gave up the one touchdown, also forced an interception. Can the Raging Cajuns continue to improve on that side of the ball? We'll have to see. We got to take a quick timeout. We'll come back. More LSU Raging Cajun talk right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Live and local on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parks III talks sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Pro Football Hall of Famer Ricky Jackson.
I tell you what, man, I was out playing basketball, and a lot of guys came and told me thanks draft this year, and they looking for you. I just forgot all about the draft.
UFC superstar Dustin the Diamond Poirier.
It means everything to me. You know, last time in Louisiana, I was born and raised. I'm a Cajun. I love it. I can't wait to walk through the airport with that dog.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
Good morning. Welcome back to RP3 and Company. Appreciate you making us part of your morning. I'm host Raymond Parks III. Producer extraordinaire Louis Prejean is on the ones and twos this week and every week afterwards. He's our new addition to the 103.7 The Game family. If you're nice to him when you call the Arco Equipment Hotline to share your thoughts with yours truly, RP3, you dial 337-706-0111. By the way, 337-706-0111. Just make sure to be nice to Louis. Because if you're not, guess what? You're not getting on the air. Boom. He may be new, but he's brutal. He has standards, damn it. What a great weekend for college football here in the state of Louisiana. LSU goes on the road, wins a shootout against the likes of Texas. Number 6 versus number 9. LSU climbed slightly into the polls, becoming now a top 5 team. For some reason, still ranked behind Georgia, who they absolutely destroyed last year, but whatever. Who's going to complain? Go on the road, Joe Burrow puts up ridiculous numbers. I mean, just, we knew he was going to be good. We knew that Steve Ensminger, the offensive coordinator, thought he had potential. Joe Brady tailored this offense, part of it that he learned from the New Orleans Saints, for Joe Burrow and what he brings to the table. We know his teammates love him. He's gutty. He's gritty. But did you ever think in your wildest dreams that the quarterback for LSU could be a possible Heisman Trophy finalist? If he keeps up the pace that he's on, obviously. I mean, when's the last time you out there, LSU fan, thought to yourself, we have a legit quarterback? It's been a minute. You had one in Zach Mettenberger. You wasted him. Offensive line was not great those 2 years that you had Zach running the offense. And you had Jeremy Hill at your as your starting running back, and you had Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry as your wide receivers. That was 2012, 2013. Couldn't get over the hump. I remember watching Zach Mettenberger get drilled into the ground by team after team, especially that second year. He put up big numbers. But you may have your best quarterback since Rohan Davey. I mean, record-wise, record book-wise, it sure does see that it seemed that way. Jamarcus Russell put up big numbers, and he was a hell of a college quarterback. I know we dump on Jamarcus all the time because of what he did as a pro, or rather what he didn't do as a pro. What he did do is take a lot of money from the Oakland Raiders. What he did not do is throw passes that were for touchdowns. But that's pros. Just speaking college, Rohan Davey, Jamarcus Russell, Zach Mettenberger. I know, LSU fan, you're going to say, hey, RP3, what about Matt Mauk? What about Matt Flynn? Matt Mauk was gutty. Matt Mauk was a leader. He came up with big plays. Matt Flynn couldn't stay healthy enough to lead LSU. They had to depend on Ryan Perilew to bail them out in the SEC championship game. Okay? Okay, so Joe Burrow, I think, is a better athlete, and Joe Burrow, I think, has better talent than those guys. I think he has Mauk's. I think Joe Burrow has Matt Mauk's and Matt Flynn's leadership in their moxie, but I think he has better arm talent than the two of those guys. That's what I think. And that's what I've seen from last year when they started opening up the offense and let Joe do his thing. Saw it in the bowl game in the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl where Joe Burrow got drilled. Should have been an illegal hit, dusted himself off, got up, and led that team to a whooping. And so far this year, with Joe Brady as the passing game coordinator, brought over from the Saints, young, dynamic offensive mind, teaming up with Steve Ensminger, who is adjusting how he calls plays, Joe Burrow looks out of this world. Time now for us to head out to the Arco Equipment Hotline. Welcome on our good friend, Doug. Doug, good morning to you. First of all, brother, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was great, Ray. It was real good, man. And yours?
I'm glad to hear that, man. I'm glad to hear that. Tell me, what's on your mind, Doug?
Well, look, man, that LSU game was one hell of a game. And look, that game was close. It was close, and I knew it was going to be close. I told my brother at halftime, I said, them Texans, they ain't going to lay down. They're going to come back. The offense is going to have to keep scoring. And looking at the way the offense played, I mean, it resembled a Saints type of offensive attack. You know what I mean? Joe was just amazing. Just amazing. It was just great to see him play like that. And that's the kind of play he's been wanting to play, you know, since Ohio. This is Joe's style. Another thing was that special teams play right at the end of the game, Ray. I mean, they need to work on that. You can't let those kicking team just run across the field and not slow them down. That was bad. That could have been a disastrous play right there. They need to work on that.
I agree.
And the running game. I'd like to see a little bit better running game. I'd like to see that Emory guy put in a little more time.
I think there wasn't that many
rushing yards, but good God, Joe made up for it. That was a great game. It was really fun to watch.
Well, Doug, appreciate the phone call, brother. I want to touch on a couple things Doug had to say. Doug joined us.
Thank you, Ray.
Not a problem, brother. Have a great day. So Doug mentioned, I want to mention the running game. They did not have a ton of rushing yardage because they were airing it out. Okay, they got into a shootout and they kind of stepped away from the running game. I think you're going to see more of the running game as the season progresses. I honestly do. You're going to see some more of those young dynamic guys. You're going to see plenty of those freshman running backs Saturday against Northwestern State because they're going to take the first team offense out. Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be standing on the sidelines dancing. Joe Burrow will be over there dancing. They'll be having a good time in Tiger Stadium in the second half as the freshmen and as all the backups are going to come into the game and get a lot of reps. And O and his staff, they are going to run the ball. But I've said it before. He says they want this to be a 50-50 offense. It's not going to be that. It's going to be 60-40 leaning towards pass. And that's what most of the big-time college teams are going towards now. But you're going to have opportunities to seal games late with the running game. The special teams needs to be cleaned up. The other thing that needs to be cleaned up, defense just got gashed. I mean, I understand it's a shootout. And once you get into a shootout, coaches will mainly tell you you can't really focus in on the stat sheet afterwards because once you get into that mode of score, 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 okay, you can't talk about the yardage. You just have to focus in on the small things of what you were able to slow down or stop. But I can guarantee you Dave Aranda's not happy that he gave up 460 yards of offense to this Texas quarterback. Sam Ellinger threw for four passing touchdowns. Four. And rushed for another. 450-yard, five-touchdown performance by the Texas quarterback. We talked about it on last week's show, what was going to be key. Would it be LSU's wide receivers versus Texas's young defensive backs, or is it going to be Dave Aranda's defense versus the Texas quarterback? It ended up being both. And give it up to Texas. Give it up to Ellinger. There may have been question marks. That kid played his butt off against one of the best defenses in the country, probably by season's end. You have some people that say all 11 starters on LSU's defense could play in the NFL. And the kid from Texas, who Baker Mayfield wants to talk trash about, lit up LSU. By the way, how's Baker Mayfield feeling this morning? How about them Browns? Super Bowl bound? No, sorry. I digress. They're still the Browns, people. Stop buying into the hype. Jesus. We do have a new poll question up at 103.7thegame.com. After his performance against Texas, is LSU quarterback Joe Burrow a legit Heisman Trophy contender? Once again, after his performance against Texas, is LSU quarterback Joe Burrow, with the new offense that they're running and the new offensive coaches, a legit Heisman Trophy contender? Yes or no? It's our poll question of the day. Make sure to go to 1037thegame.com and vote on it. Vote on it early. Vote on it often. Tell your friends to vote. You can also call us, just like Doug did, on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. That's 337-706-0111. I want to hear from you. Do you think Joe Burrow deserves to start to be considered to be in the Heisman Trophy discussion? Or if you want to give us your thoughts on what else you saw from the LSU-UT game, you can feel free to do that. There are some questions, though. Definitely some questions. Defensively, look, are you going to get in a shootout like that again? No. But Sam Ellinger put up huge numbers. You gave up those type of numbers to Sam Ellinger. What about Tua? If you face off against healthy Tua again? That's my only concern. And I'm not going to jump to a conclusion either, because once again, shootouts are weird. This was a low-scoring game for the most of the first half, remember? Then in the second half, it gets out of control. Part of that is the heat. Part of that is the kids just being tired. When you get a shootout, that tires you out more than old-fashioned slugfest, because of the amount of energy that you're using running up and down the field. And shootouts wear down on defenses more than they do on offenses. Always have. In the real world and in the video game world. Plain and simple. But Joe Burrow, whoo, had himself a dandy of a game, so to speak. A dandy of a game. We'll see if this offense can keep playing at this level. Expect a big performance on Saturday versus Northwestern State. But can they put up these kind of points against the likes of Florida, Auburn, Alabama, A&M? Man, if they can do that, they're not losing a game. Plain and simple. Joe Burrow can win the Heisman. I know it's early, and I don't want this to be overreaction Monday, so to speak. But tell me another quarterback that looked as good as Joe Burrow this past weekend. Joe Burrow looked just as good this weekend as Jalen Hurts did in the opener for Oklahoma when he put up all those touchdowns. Did. Looked just as good. It's a long season, and we'll see how LSU looks. But, I mean, if you're looking at the schedule, Northwestern State, then on the road to open up SEC play versus Vandy, then back at home for Utah State, I expect to see three big games from Joe Burrow there. And I expect to see Miles Brennan getting a lot of reps in the second half in those three games. I'm not saying that to be mean. Did you see Vandy? They lost again. Vandy is not a good team. Utah State is a decent team out of an inferior conference. LSU will be 5-0. Joe Burrow will get plenty of rest in the fourth quarter in those next three games when they play the Florida Gators. And that is always salty. He'll be nice and rested. They'll have weeks to work on their game plan. And Tiger fans, how much do you want to see Joe Burrow just throw for like 500 yards on Dan Mullen and the Florida Gators? Because, you know, they'll talk some of that nonsense about being DBU too. Plus, that's a rivalry that's gone over to the other sports as well, basketball, baseball, and softball. That should be a good game. That should be a really good game. We'll head out. And I don't know. The Florida game, though, that will be interesting. They'll be 5-0. And that'll be absolute salty game. Because they love to talk trash, Florida does. And they'll do something the week before about being DBU as well. And they'll go after it. But the defense will also have an opportunity here to get things right. And the defense will have an opportunity to maybe flush this video game style game behind themselves and get right against these opponents. And you can bet it. You can bet your house note that Dave Aranda is going to be working his defense to death this week. Let's head back out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Welcome on Debbie to the show. Debbie, good morning to you. How are you doing today?
Good morning. A little tired, but pumped and ready to face the day after this weekend.
Well, tell me, what was your favorite part of the weekend, Debbie?
You know, we went to Austin with the idea that, listen, the game tickets are going to be outrageous. We probably won't be able to get any, but let's just go soak it up, enjoy the atmosphere, and go root on our guys whenever they get off the bus. And we headed over there Friday night. We had hotel rooms. Got to the area where they were doing the ESPN game day show.
Okay.
We made it there around 10 o'clock. They had a few people there, but not as many as we expected would be there. And they came to the party a little late. Most of the Texas fans didn't show up to tailgate until like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Fail Texas fans. Fail.
Oh, my goodness. We just could not believe it. And we set up right on the side of the stage to the left-hand side if you're facing on Kirk's side of the stage.
Okay.
And we just basically found a tree and planted ourselves. We were in all LSU gear and kind of became the unofficial LSU hangout spot. People were, every time they would come and they saw that we were LSU fans, they were just hyped with us and more gathered around us. And before you knew it, the show was, let me back up a little bit. I was FaceTiming my brother from the field because it was his birthday and he's in South Texas, and an LSU fan married a UT fan. Graduate, and the Undertaker walks by just after he finished filming and tearing up his poster, and here's this LSU girl. I just grab him by the arm and tell him, hey, say happy birthday, little brother. And he kind of looked at me, his bodyguards just kind of like swarm me a little bit, but he goes happy birthday, little brother, and then walks on. It was the coolest experience. So we walked back to our spot, find the shade. I got to talk with Maria Taylor. I got pictures with Reese. I got pictures with Kirk.
Debbie, it sounds like you had a tremendous weekend. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty sure everyone listening is now envious of what you were able to accomplish over the weekend.
It was great. And our guys had their game face on. Joe Burrow came to the side when they got off the bus. They were walking past us, and they were, like, just ready to play. And it was fantastic. It really was. Great, great atmosphere. 98% of the Texas fans were nice. You had 2% that were just terrible. But, you know what? We knew. And they were surprised that they lost. They were shocked. They thought they were going to go in there and whip our tails. They really did. And we're like, y'all just don't know. You do not know what our offense is going to be able to do. This is not last year's offense, year before.
this is different, and you guys are going to be surprised.
Debbie, appreciate the phone call. I got to hit a break. But thank you, Debbie. And Debbie had a tremendous time out there in Austin. Next time Tigers go on a road trip, I think I need to communicate with Debbie beforehand because she got pictures, saw the Undertaker, became a beacon for all other LSU fans. So good job, Deb. Had herself a hell of a weekend cheering on the Tigers there in Austin. We got to take a quick time out. More RP3 and Company next, right after this, on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Good morning. Welcome back to the show. We're broadcasting live from 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Also simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. You can also find us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. Look, it was a great weekend. Cajuns won at home there at Cajun Field versus Liberty. LSU goes on the road, takes down Texas in a shootout. Debbie got to see the Undertaker. That may be the biggest highlight of the weekend. But it was a little bit of a downer here locally because Dustin the Diamond Poirier fell short of winning his unification lightweight bout against Khabib there at UFC 242. Man, he had some great moments in the second round. He landed a lot of strikes against Khabib. The third round, he takes him down, but wasn't able to hold him down. Khabib reversed it, and then he won by submission. Diamond loses the interim belt, but we're proud of him. He's represented the city of Lafayette and Acadiana well. He's got nothing to hang his head about and had a great time with our UFC watch party there at Barley's in downtown Lafayette. They put on a great show with us on Saturday, so I want to thank them for that. Damon Mason, Raging Cajun legend, joins us next right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Good morning. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. We're also simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. That's free over the air, 24-hour sports coverage. And you can also find us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. It's time now for us to head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. We've talked a lot about LSU football winning the shootout against UT in Austin. We've talked about the Raging Cajuns winning at home versus the Liberty Flames. And we're going to talk more about the Raging Cajuns' first victory of the season with our next guest. He's one of the few men that has his number retired up there inside Cajun Field, ladies and gentlemen. He's in the UL Athletics Hall of Fame. He's one of the best to ever wear the vermilion and white. He joins us every Monday. It's the one and only Damon Mason. Damon, good morning to you, brother. How was your weekend?
Good morning, RP3. It's been great, man. How about yourself?
It was good. It was good. Now, I got to ask you, man. I know you were watching the game from afar, checking it out. When you saw Liberty jump out early and get those couple of touchdowns early on there in the first and to start the second quarter, what were your thoughts?
You play four quarters. You go into the game and you have a great game plan. You know, you're feeling very confident that you can beat them based on what you've seen on film. But when they jump out of those two scores, myself is like, you know, man, calm down. You know, anything can happen and everything can happen throughout the course of the game. But that's why you play four quarters. That's why you play 60 minutes. So overcome adversity as soon as it happens, and that's what we did. So I was calm. So how can I expect my team to be calm if I'm not calm?
Spoken like a true former Raging Cajun leader / star. We're talking with Damon Mason. He's the UL Athletics Hall of Famer. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Damon, I want your thoughts on what Michael Jacquet said afterwards. He talked to the media, and he said that he went over, him and a couple of the guys on the defensive side of the ball went over to the offense and said, hey, don't worry about it. We got this covered. You don't have to worry about scoring again. We got this. And they pitched a shutout there in the second half against Liberty. As a guy who played that position, as a guy who played defensive back, and was a leader for your team, when you hear a senior cornerback like that step up and say that, it's got to just fill up your heart. It just fills it up with joy, right?
I'll tell you what, man, that's extraordinary. You know, that's not like something Orlando Thomas might do. Damon Mason's not going to do that. You know, Orlando Thomas, everybody know he was very, very, very outspoken.
No, you don't mean that, Damon.
Yes. And we loved it. And we loved it. You know, he used to challenge everyone. You know, a lot of us, including myself, picked up a lot of things from Orlando Thomas. But as I said last week, what we started doing once those older guys like Orlando Thomas left, we would sit down and just, you know, keep our composure, and we're going to leave Jake alone. We're going to leave Stokely alone, King and Kyle. Offense, whatever you guys do, look, go out there and do your best. We're not even watching. We're not even watching the game. So for me to hear that a young man at the collegiate level saying something like that, that's confidence in his himself, his teammates on defense, and that's big. I can't lie. That's big, because I would never have done that. I'm just going to go, if you guys love, you guys got to do. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you a better answer. When we beat Texas A&M, our coach, and I knew it was Coach Rex Kipps, he called me to the sideline. He said, Mace, tell the guys, offense can't score no more. We got to find a way to get that last touchdown. And that was the same drive that Britt Jackson caught the interception. So it happens. It happens from different people, regardless if it's a coach or it's a player. So it's great to hear that. And then it's even better to go out there and actually do it. And that's a big confidence builder, not just for that entire game as it was, but for the rest of the season, knowing that you can actually go out there and tell your offense, and your offense can depend on your defense. That's excellent.
We're talking with the UL Athletics Hall of Famer, Damon Mason. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Damon, I want to talk, I want to say on the defensive side of the ball, they pulled out the win. They did the shutout, posted the shutout in the second half, but they gave up huge amount of yards on the ground again, and this is against an inferior opponent. Any concerns whatsoever about the run defense for the Raging Cajuns? I know it's only been two games, so I don't like jumping to conclusions, Damon, and I know you don't either.
Mm-hmm.
But as a guy who played at the highest level in college and ended up playing professional football as well, any concerns of what you're seeing about the run defense for the Raging Cajuns?
Well, now you have to address it. You know, last week when we talked about it, first game of the year, we talked about the different intangibles that goes on. You know, as I say, I thought it was too early to worry about it. But now you don't want to go into week three, excuse me, as you say, with an inferior team as Liberty was, not putting them down, but it is what it is. So as coaches, you have to address it. As players, you definitely need to take heed to what your coaches are telling you and what you're seeing on film. And I can honestly say that from the standpoint not as a player, but more as a coach, you know, and being a professional athlete on a higher level, you know, when you see consistency that's in a negative light, you have to start paying attention to it and start addressing some things in film room as well as in the practice sessions. And then honestly, just from looking at the stats and just knowing the game the way that I do, you know, when you're giving up that many yards, you know, as I said last week, you know, you got guys probably not getting off or fighting off of blocks. You got guys who maybe not giving 110% because maybe they're still not in game shape yet. So there are a lot of different things that can actually be going on, but you have to start paying more of attention to it than you did after the first game.
We're talking with Damon Mason, UL Athletics Hall of Famer, one of the greatest Raging Cajun football legends. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Damon, I want to talk about kicking. Stevie Arteague is coming off a year where he missed the entire last season due to injury. So he's still trying to find his way, and kickers are a particular breed. He misses three field goals Saturday night. Now, Coach Napier has his back, says, look, he goes, I had things that I want to take back as well. I didn't do a great job coaching. They're going to keep his back. As a player, though, even though kickers are kind of remote, like they're on the fringe of the team, the everyday activities, right? As one of the senior leaders on that team, though, do you go up to your kicker when he's struggling like that and try to give him some words of encouragement? Or what do you do in that type of situation, Damon?
You know what? I'm glad you say that, because I was laughing because I'm always thinking as a player that the things we heard about kickers from high school, even in college in my earlier years. But when you say as a leader and as a senior that I was, our kicker was Jeremy Deitch, you know, and shout out to him, wherever he's at. And I remember him missing a long field goal against Texas A&M that it was long enough, but it just went wide left or wide right. But you find yourself encouraging those guys because, you know, just try to be a leader, and that's the best answer. As a leader, you want to encourage them, you know, and keep telling them, "Man, I'm proud of you. Keep working hard. Don't worry about that one." You know, blah blah blah. But now the flip side is doing a cultural practice, as coaches always say to every level, and players say, you know, in a not so nice way, if this all you gotta do, man, look, every time we look over here, you should be working on your craft. And that's really what it boils down to. And I'm speaking from a professional standpoint. And if you can take a professional mindset on a collegiate level, man, how much better could you be? Yeah, how much better would your team be? And that's for every position. So for these kickers, hey, look, if you don't know, perfect the art of your craft, what is your art? What is your assignment? What is your responsibility? What is your technique, your art? Kicking. So things that you mess up on, look, you can't get this last game back. But now let's put more emphasis on watching film so you can see your technique. And then go out there and practice and put more time into kicking and doing other things besides just kicking like kickers would do. You know, they'll spend some time doing what they got to do. Then most of the time they're watching practice and put more effort into it. Whatever you got to do to get better, whatever you got to do to perfect the art of your craft, of your position as a kicker, do that. You know, so that's several different answers from different mindsets, different positions. But the bottom line is we have to depend on you. We need you. Matter of fact, look at what happened with Northeastern or Northwestern, whoever it was who missed the kick to could have beat whoever they played, Florida State. You know what I'm saying? So it's we need you. But if you're not putting for your best effort in practice, it could come back and hurt you in the game, just like every other position can. So be accountable.
We're talking with the UL Athletics Hall of Famer Damon Mason. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. You don't have to worry about him being accountable. He always has been. Damon, I got to ask you. Dissect some of this offense that the Raging Cajuns are putting out there. Guy like Jamarcus Bradley, he just makes it look easy, brother. He's a senior wide receiver. Yeah. He bails out Levi Lewis time and time again. And Levi, that's his security blanket, had a monster game on Saturday for the Raging Cajuns.
Correct.
Six catches for 110 yards, two touchdowns. The next closest in yardage out of the wide receiving 19. Group was like 16 yards. It was 19 yards. It was Neil Johnson.
19.
What Correct. Is how special is Jamarcus? Is he a guy that you think can play at the next level?
Definitely. You know, and it just boils down to him, RPG, just being consistent. He has to be consistent. Don't worry about trying to do a little more than what he can do. Use his guy, give him a bit of his talent. And what I mean by being consistent, too many young boys, college, also from high school, same thing. They go out there and they worry about getting hurt. Look, just go play football. Keep doing what you've been doing, right? And let your game do what it's going to do. Don't go out there trying to be Superman. Do what you do, and the rest is going to take care of itself. You know, so I definitely think he has an opportunity to play the next level, but that's not his mindset. That's also what I mean by being consistent. Week to week, continue to get in the weight room, stay healthy, study film, and keep producing. Keep it loose. Now, with that being, the flip side of that is, I remember what Coach Napier said, read one of his comments, I think during the spring, during the summer months, you know, that he wanted to get more production from his receiver corps. Now, granted, you know, if you got Bradley, Bill, and Levi, well, what's going to happen? You know, God forbid, you know, you hate to say negative things, but let's be real, you know, if anything would happen, even if Bradley got tired, who else is going to step up? You know what I'm saying?
It's a good question. And my other question to you, to kind of piggyback off of that, Damon, is this.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen this a lot. You've covered this game. You've coached this game. You've played in this game. I like Levi Lewis a lot. The team likes him. He's a leader. Mm-hmm. He's a gutty kid. He's not a consistent quarterback. So my question to you would be this. Can the Raging Cajuns accomplish their goals this year of winning the Sun Belt West and winning the Sun Belt Conference if Levi Lewis is just okay?
No. And the only reason why I say that, because at that position, every position, but especially at that position, you need consistency. And not just consistency can go both ways. It can be negative consistency, or it can be positive, or you can be up and down. We need more positive production. You know what I'm saying? You could win a session, but still, that's one interception too many. You know, you might miss some open throws, you know, make some bad decisions. We need you to be more consistent. He has to be the coach on the field. He should be spending that much more time talking to Coach Napier, who is not only the head coach, he's the offensive coordinator, or the quarterback coach, I should say. It's his offense. He should spend more time what those what Coach Napier in the offensive coordinator, which I can't think of his name at this particular
Rob
time,
Sale.
And spending more thank you. And then spending more time watching film, not just by himself, but with his receivers. See, RPG, I learned, like we all do, when I left the college game and went in my professional level during the football league, which is where I actually learned the art of covering. I was a good football player in college, running around just hitting anything, not getting covered. But when you're playing arena football, when it's 99.9% passing, I learned how to really cover. And I learned how to really study film. So I can imagine if a Levi Lewis will actually study film with his receivers and to get on the same page, make a long story very, very short. Peyton Manning was not the Peyton Manning that we knew when he came out of college. Peyton Manning got to the professional level and he elevated his study game. He elevated the way he communicated with his offense, with his receivers. If these young boys with our Cajuns can start picking up on a professional mindset right now, it's going to take their game to a whole nother level. So consistency is one thing, but if he don't continue to get better, consistently getting better, you know, there's no growth.
We're wrapping things up here with the UL Athletics Hall of Famer and football legend Damon Mason. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Damon, next game up is this Saturday back at Cajun Field. Texas Southern out of the SWAC comes to town. Once again, another opportunity to play a team from the lower division and work on some things and execute even more so, be more efficient offense, defense, and special teams. Is that what you expect to see out of your Raging Cajuns come Saturday against Texas Southern?
Yes. First thing, there's a saying that we always say, you know, you're supposed to beat the team you're supposed to beat. And that's not putting Texas Southern down. But if I'm playing Texas Southern, hey, man, we're going to beat these boys. So let's go out there and prepare to beat them. You know, but I actually, I've done the research. I look at the stats. They put up some numbers. You know, last week they had 505 total yards on offense. You know, passing, they had 357. So, you know, our secondary is going to get tested. You know, so they need to watch film and watch film and watch more film and then go out there and practice on their technique. Our offensive line did a good job. There's going to be a great chance for not only that stable of running backs we had to get more yards, but it's also an opportunity for our receiving corps to step their game up, to give Levi Lewis more opportunity to develop his passing game. And that's why you get these, you know, you get the big games like Mississippi State, but then you come back with a game like Liberty and Texas Southern, so you can actually polish up on some things as you're getting ready for conference play. So you're right. This is a great opportunity for both sides of the ball, offense and defense, to go out there and polish up on some things and maybe get some younger guys opportunity to play depending on how we play. Like I said last week, we put up some, you know, I thought we could beat Liberty pretty soundly, which we did, but we're still a lot to work on. But if you get younger guys out there, that's how you build a program. You know, again, because people are going to get tired. Unfortunately, guys are going to get hurt. Hopefully not too bad. But you need people to step up. You know, so it can go either way. Be the team you're supposed to be, but don't be overconfident. Don't take a team like this for granted because they are very talented. And I'm going to end by saying this here, RB3, because you know I'm a defensive guy and I love defense. When I look at the stats, I always look at defense. Now, they have some guys on defense who remind me of myself just based on stats. They got one young man, he had 11 tackles, you know, Joshua Murray. You know, he had the next two was 8 tackles and 7 tackles. When I look at our defense, the most we had was 4 tackles, an individual. Now, it's a team sport, but when I see a guy who flies around like the way I love to fly around, that just lets me know that there's individuals out there who are willing to take their game to another level and do as much as they can to help their team out. So they have some players at Texas Southern. So I know Coach Napier is going to have our boys ready, but our boys need to make sure that they have themselves ready and hold themselves accountable, offense, defense, and special teams.
Damon, appreciate catching up with you once again on these Mondays, man. I look forward to it every week. Enjoy the rest of your week, my friend, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, RP3, man. You guys take care.
It's Damon Mason, UL Athletics Hall of Famer, football legend. Joined us there on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, giving his thoughts on the Raging Cajuns' victory over Liberty. We got to take a quick timeout. More RP3 and company next, right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
able to see the light of day from their offense yet. And in the end zone, Murray, and that pass may be intercepted. Let's see if it is by Tracy Walker. And it is. Tracy Walker with the pick. And a more experienced quarterback.
We just wrapped up a conversation with one great defensive back in Raging Cajun history, Damon Mason. Another one had himself a heck of a weekend. You heard there, Tracy Walker, who played for the Cajuns from 2014 to 17, got himself a leaping interception in the Lions-Arizona Cardinals game on Sunday. He also led the Lions in tackles with 9. He got the start only in his second season. He was a third-round draft pick by the Lions a year ago, where he recorded 21 tackles and an interception. But now he's starting for the Detroit Lions, got himself a leaping interception. Yesterday in that game, it was spectacular to watch. He also led his team with 9 tackles. So congrats to the former Raging Cajun star defensive back, Tracy Walker, making a name for himself in the National Football League. We got to make a name for ourselves by paying a few bills. But when we return, Jeff Palermo joins us talking LSU football right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parch III talks sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Former LSU National Championship coach Les Miles.
So when I took the field, I was ecstatic that that crowd was just happy as they could be with these Tigers.
CFL Most Outstanding Player and Grey Cup Champion Kerry Joseph.
You know, growing up as a kid and new out there, it was just about playing sports. You never knew where it was going to take you. You have a desire, you have a dream, you have a passion for it. Just to be where I am today, it's something that I would have never thought.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
Stephon Sullivan, the lone wide out right side. Snap to Burrow. Burrow with time, fires, catch made, back of the end zone, Justin Jefferson, touchdown, Tigers! Second touchdown of the year, and the Tigers regain the lead 9-7 with 7:30 to go here in the first half.
Good morning, welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. We're also simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. You can also find us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. Spent a lot of time on today's show talking about them Tigers. Talking about Joe Burrow having himself a heck of a ball game. Record-setting game. Most passing yards in a game. Second only to Rohan Davey. That's a blast from the past. One of the best to ever do it. We're going to talk about Joe Burrow's performance. We're going to talk about the shootout video game-like ending of the LSU-UT game on Saturday night there in Austin with our next guest. He works for the Louisiana Radio Network. He's also co-host of Tiger Rag Radio, which you can listen to right here on 103.7 The Game every Tuesday evening. He's our good friend. He joins us every Monday, the one and only Jeff Palermo. Jeff, good morning to you. Have you recovered from the weekend? My friend.
Getting there. Saturday night was certainly something else, I tell you that. Very entertaining game, I would say. Most entertaining game of the entire weekend, NFL, college. It was a lot of fun to watch, and I thought you saw two really good football teams go at it, and in the end, LSU was the better team.
Jeff, Joe Burrow's performance... Describe it to me in one word.
Spectacular. I think he, I mean, to throw for as many yards as he did, the one interception, I don't know how much of his fault, obviously, was tipped at the line of scrimmage, bounces back from that. The third down and 17 was just a thing of beauty. That the final touchdown pass that he threw that night, the play before he got sacked, the momentum was certainly Texas was starting to really get the momentum back in their favor, and he starts feeling the pressure does Burrow in that third and 17. The pockets collapsing around him, and he makes a little bit of a move to his left, and he steps up, and throws a dart to Jefferson across the middle of the field, who then outraces the defenders into the end zone. I mean, that was special. That will be one of the signature plays of the season. You know, it's just very much so like the Derek Dillon touchdown catch last year against Auburn. I mean, that was that was kind of a touchdown. Because as Coach O said, LSU's defense was just not going to stop Texas in the second half. And they needed to continue to play up-tempo, needed to continue to force the issue, needed to continue to be aggressive, and they were. And, previous LSU teams on third down and 17 probably would have ran the ball or something.
Draw play
or something to try to hope to get back in field goal range. But LSU was the aggressor, and it's the reason why they won the game, because they remained aggressive and didn't really just sit back like they did last year against Texas A&M and allow the Aggies to get back in the game.
Jeff, it seems like, and this happens very, it's very rare that you see this kind of firsthand, but there very much seems to be an honest approach and a level of respect between the offensive brain trust with Steve Ensminger and Joe Brady and Joe Burrow and Coach Ed Orgeron, where they trust him. And you very rarely see this, especially in college football. Hell, sometimes you don't even see it at the next level in pros, where if the quarterback wants to be aggressive, they're like, okay, let's be aggressive. And it seems like there's just a level of understanding and respect amongst all of these men where egos are being put aside because they feel like they have an opportunity to do something special. Is that how you kind of view this?
Yeah, I mean, Joe Burrow is certainly a confident kid, and I think that confidence comes across. And I mean, he's been speaking confident all year long, making the comments that he did at the Manning Passing Academy about putting up 40, 50, 60 points a game, to everything that he has said during preseason camp and through the first two games of the season. The guy's really confident in his ability. He's confident in his teammates. I think LSU understands what they got at the wide receiver position. And let's face it, that's the best part of their offense, quarterback and their receivers, for the first time in a long time. That is the best part of LSU's offense, and so you got to have trust in it, and you got to believe in it. And even if you throw an interception early in the football game, deep in your own territory, that doesn't mean you just shut it down and say, all right, well, it's obviously not going to work. That you just keep going with it because that's what you believe in. And I think it's been really impressive to watch Steve Ensminger and Joe Brady coexist, right? Because I think there would have been, in a lot of cases, let's face it, Steve Ensminger is an older gentleman, and here comes this 29-year-old hotshot kid from the New Orleans Saints. And I think there would be some guys that would look at, in a lot of cases, in Ensminger's position, they would look at this as a threat, and there would be, some bickering, and you wouldn't be on the same page. But these guys are totally on the same page, and it was great that ABC kept getting, kept getting shots of them in the press box. I mean, you could tell those two guys are on the same page. They're working well together, and there's no animosity at all. And I think that has led to what you're seeing here offensively, is that everyone is on the same page, and no one is going off in their own direction, doing their own little thing. And it's why LSU's offense has been nearly unstoppable this season.
We're talking with Jeff Palermo, the Louisiana Radio Network. He's also co-host of Tiger Rag Radio. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Jeff, look, I know it's only two games, okay, but we saw Burrow's progression through the A&M game and then through the bowl game against UCF. Through two games so far this season, though, nearly 82% completion percentage, 750 yards, 9 touchdowns to 1 interception. I know he's not going to keep up that torrid pace. I get that, especially with the schedule. You're going to see a lot of Miles Brennan. You're going to see those young running backs get a lot of reps in the second half this week against Northwestern State, probably against poor Vandy, because they look awful again. Okay, I get that. But could Joe Burrow have a legit opportunity here to rewrite the record books, many of those records held by Rohan Davey, who hasn't played for the Tigers in 20 years?
He's got a good shot. And again, he's going to be playing in an offense that is going to feature the pass. They're going to go And they're going to have enough games where Joe Burrow is going to play the entire contest.
Right.
You know, that he's going to be able to throw up some big yards. But why not? You know, as long as this guy stays healthy and he's got the weapons to throw to in the receiving game, and I still think there's still another level to where this offense can go. You know, I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire was efficient running the football, but I still anticipate by the end of the year some of these younger running backs, John Emery, Tyrion Davis-Price, having more of an impact, especially in the conference games and the bigger games, tighter games as the season goes on. And what could they provide? Because I think those guys give you more of the big play threat once they certainly get the offensive down. But I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Terrace Marshall. I mean, that trio right there, that's tough to stop. And then you got other guys that you could throw in there, whether it's Thaddeus Moss, mentioned Derek Dillon. I mean, they got other wide receivers they can get the ball to. They throw in the ball to the running backs. You just do so much. And and LSU's not gonna go away from it. So many times during the Les Miles era that if something wasn't working in the first quarter, they just go back to what they do. And what they do was, you know, obviously toss the ball to the tailback and hope you grind out first downs and hope for a big play and hope for the defense to win it and special teams and just have the offense not lose the game. But now they're going out and they're going to have the LSU offense is designed to win football games, not to just go out there and try not to lose them. So, yeah, I think there's a great chance that Burrow can break some records along with the rest of these receivers too.
Jeff, any chance whatsoever, and I want you to be honest and have plenty of candor here, any possible way Joe Burrow, if he has this just tremendous season that he's already started off on, keeps it up, keeps up the pace, puts up Tua-like numbers like Tua did last year at Alabama? Do you think Joe Burrow can find his way to New York City for the Heisman Trophy ceremony?
Yeah, he certainly can. I mean, you know, Tyrann Mathieu was really the last finalist for LSU when it comes to Heisman. They've had other guys that have, you know, Leonard Fournette got off to terrific starts to the season. You know, there was a back in the day talk of Patrick Peterson, you know, a Heisman candidate. So LSU, let's face it, this is a program that's really played well in the month of September. I don't know what their record is in September, but there hasn't been that many losses, that's for sure. You know, especially if you take out the 2016 season when Miles got fired. This team has been very good in this month, and they've had guys get off to great starts, and then eventually it kind of tapers off a little bit. So we'll see. But I think what he was able to do on Saturday, where he had a huge television audience watching, those who vote on that award watching, had to come away impressed with what they saw. I think it's really going to come down to, you know, how well he performs against Alabama. I mean, if he goes in there and LSU gets a victory, and let's just say even if LSU suffers a loss before they get to Alabama somehow, and if Burrow goes into Tuscaloosa and outplays Tua and LSU comes away with a victory, I think at that point then it's almost a lock that he's a finalist at that point. But Jalen Hurts is going to be putting up some big numbers at Oklahoma. Tua is going to be putting up big numbers at Alabama. There's going to be other guys, too, as the season develops. So, but I think this is something that certainly he's got a chance. But let's see what happens against Alabama. And, again, now that you got this hard game out of the way in September, especially the rest of the schedule here in this month is a cakewalk, as you kind of mentioned there, with Northwestern State and Vanderbilt coming up on the schedule. Really, the season, all of a sudden, the focus is starting to come on Alabama. And obviously, that's the big game that LSU has to win.
Wrapping things up here with Jeff Plarimo, the Louisiana Radio Network. He's also co-host of Tiger Rag Radio, and he joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Jeff, Sam Ellinger, He had himself a hell of a ball game, 450 yards plus of total offense, 5 touchdowns total. Do you take anything from that, any concerns about the defense, or is it just simply, hey, this is what happens in shootouts. You'll have these games, and defense really can't judge itself by yardage or touchdowns. It's more about, hey, we forced them to punt once in the second. You know, how do you look at it in a positive way or a negative way of what happened with the Texas quarterback?
Well, I know LSU's defensive coaching staff isn't happy with what happened, and they're not pleased at all as far as what occurred. But the game kind of reminded me of what happened when LSU went to West Virginia in 2011.
Ooh, good comparison.
And West Virginia threw for a bunch of yards in that season. And that was I don't remember what the total was. It was over 300. It might have been close to 400 yards passing in that game. And that game kind of developed into a shootout, especially in the second half. And I think this was the kind of the same thing. Early game, hot quarterback, hot temperatures, guys going down with cramping, multiple injuries. I think the one injury that I'm probably most interested to hear about is Rashard Lawrence, because I think they certainly need him. I think he's their best down defensive lineman that they got, and that could be a little bit of a loss. I think it was just one of those games that just kind of developed that way. You know, who was it? I know it's a totally different sport. It was that Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom faced each other in a pitching. Both of those guys faced each other in Major League Baseball last week. And that, well, the final score was 11-10 or something
like
right. that. These things kind of happen. I think LSU still has one of the best defenses in the country. Derek Stingley is phenomenal. There's no doubt about that. They lost Grant Delpit for a little bit during that game. They were shuffling a lot of guys in and out, and it was one of those things where, you know, the quarterback gets in a groove and he's tough to stop, and LSU really didn't have any answers. So I would imagine they'll be very good against Northwestern State and Vanderbilt this week, and the numbers will come back down, and they'll be ranked by the end of the season as one of the top defenses in the country.
Jeff, appreciate your insight as always, my friend. Have a great week. Have a tremendous Tiger Rag Radio this week as well, and we'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
It's Jeff Palermo from the Louisiana Radio Network and co-host of Tiger Rag Radio joining us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. We got to take a quick timeout, but when we return, Houston Astros baseball talk. Well, it seems fitting. It's football season, and they put up a football score. We'll talk about it next, right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Big time error for the Astros as Jake Marisnik crushes one. That's all to the train tracks. The 6th train has just left Union Station, and the Astros lead 4-0. Whoa, that was some pretty art.
The art of destruction.
Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. We're also simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1, and you can also find us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. Houston Astros went up 4-0 there in the second inning on Jake's home run, but they would not be done, because then they came out in the third and only scored 9 runs. Would end up winning yesterday's contest 21-1. 21-1. 94-50 overall on the season. They complete the 4-game sweep of the Seattle Mariners. And now they get back to the action tonight as they welcome in the Oakland Athletics. You can listen to that game live on our sister station, KVOL, The Rewind. That's 97.7 FM, 1330 AM, right here in Lafayette. Astro launch will begin at 6:35. First pitch will be at 7:10. Once again, Athletics at Astros. Pregame 6:35. First pitch 7:10. Can be heard tonight on our sister station, KVOL, The Rewind, 97.7 FM, 1330 AM. Astros just won a game 21-1. I'll say it again, 21-1. Ridiculous. George Springer had seven at-bats. Seven. So they're definitely getting him his work after he had to miss a few games due to concussion protocol. Scored two runs, had himself a hit, drove in four, had four RBIs. Here's your stat line. I could go through here and tell you everyone that got a hit, or I could simply state that on the box score for the Houston Astros in yesterday's 21-1 win, that every single person that was inserted into the lineup and got an at-bat recorded a hit. Everyone. Yeah, Miles Straw went 3-for-3. Jordan Alvarez, who's more than likely going to win the American League Rookie of the Year, he went 4-for-6 with six runs batted in. But every single person that took an at-bat for the Houston Astros yesterday recorded a hit. Say what? That's what happened. If you're the Mariners, you just got like, okay. Remember when they were good? Remember when people were like, hey, they're really good? Remember it was middle of April. They're like, oh, the Mariners are in first place. Wrong. They're one of the worst teams in baseball. 21-1 victory. Here's the interesting thing. All those hits, everyone got a hit before the first single was recorded. They were all extra base hits. Oh, man, 21-1. The Astros pitching staff, meanwhile, I'm sorry, the Astros struck 11 two-base hits, six of them in the nine-run third inning, en route to the 21-1 victory. On the other end of the spectrum for A.J. Hinch's group, Gerrit Cole just went out there on his 29th birthday and allowed only one hit over eight innings with 15 strikeouts, retiring 24 of 25 batters that he faced. Gerrit Cole was dealing. Everyone in the lineup got a hit. 21-1. Stupid kind of score. Astros back in action tonight. Once again, you listen to it on KBOL, our sister station, 97.7 FM, 1330 AM. We got to take a quick timeout. When we come back, Barry Hursis joins us to help preview Monday Night Football for the Saints right here on Acadiana Sports Station.
No, I think it's great for our fans, number one. You know, it's a night game. I mean, we're counting on the same electricity that we had the last time we were in that stadium. I mean, they can impact the game. They know that. So we're counting on a playoff atmosphere. And the challenge is always on a Monday night game is the following week.
Welcome back to RP3 and Company. Right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. We've talked a lot of college football on today's show, rightfully so. Raging Cajuns, Billy Napier and company get win number one on the season as they defeat Liberty at home at Cajun Field. LSU goes onto the road, wins the shootout, the top 10 shootout with the University of Texas. They're in Austin on Saturday night. But guess what? NFL started this week, and we won't talk about the atrocity that was Thursday Night Football between the Packers and the Bears. Ooh. Or what occurred this weekend, because you know what? It doesn't really matter, because the only thing that you really care about, who dats? Saints kick off the 2019 season tonight inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. You can listen to that game live right here, courtesy of Westwood One. Pre-game will start at 5:30 tonight, kickoff 6, because Houston Texans at New Orleans Saints, that's game one of the Monday Night Football doubleheader. And to give us his preview, his thoughts on tonight's season opener, it's our boy from Big Easy Magazine and from the Saints News Network. He joins us every Monday. It's our boy, Barry Hursis. Barry, good morning to you. How you doing, brother?
Good morning to you, RP3, and the 2019 NFL season is finally upon us.
You sound very calm for it being game day. I'm very surprised. Proud of you for showing some restraint, brother. Good job.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, look, that was an interesting opening weekend for the NFL, and I don't think we'll lack for excitement tonight as well. You heard Sean Payton asking the Saints fans to be as loud and proud as they can tonight in the Superdome, and I would expect nothing less when the ball kicks off at 6 p.m. Central Time.
All right, let's talk a little bit about let's focus in on the Saints first, Barry. What do we expect to see out of this offense when they take the field tonight against the vaunted Houston Texans pass rusher?
I think you're going to see them mix it up. Use a lot of the stuff they've been using for the last 2 years in the spread option. One major difference that I'm anticipating that I would like to see personally, I want to see how they get Jared Cook involved in the offense. As we've discussed all summer long and all offseason ever since he signed with the team, I really, really think you're going to see that element the 2011, 2012, when Jimmy Graham was starting tight end. I really think you're going to see the Saints kind of, retrograde their offense back to that time a few years ago when they were so successful running that type of offense. And that's one of the things that I anticipate that I think they're going to do that nobody's really maybe talking about. You know, we're so narrow-mindedly focused on, you know, and rightfully so, on what, you know, Kamara and Thomas bring to the offense. But I really, really think that the Jared Cook signing, maybe doesn't get the hype that it's deserved. And I, to me personally, I think it's the one move that makes this team, you know, go from a team that's gotten beaten in the NFL playoffs in the manner that they have the last two seasons. I honestly believe in my heart of hearts, this is the one move that pushed them, quote unquote, over the top. Now, will that happen? We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. But that's just my gut feeling coming into the night.
We're talking with Barry Herstis. He covers the Saints for the Saints News Network and Big Easy Magazine. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Barry, will we figure out wide receiver who's going to be the guy? We know it's Michael Thomas. We know it's going to be Ted Ginn Jr. Jared Cook's going to get his touches as well as Alvin Kamara. Do you think we're going to figure out who the number three wide receiver actually is, or do you think it's going to be more of a week-to-week whoever's hot and whoever Drew wants to throw the ball to is going to be the guy that's going to be in there?
I definitely go with your second part of that assessment because, hey, look, God bless Traquan. He's got a lot of talent. But, you know, he runs hot and cold. I mean, just call it what it is. He runs very hot and cold, and he has his moments, and then he has his not-so-great moments. So I don't want to put all the pressure on or allude to the fact that Traquan is the guy we're waiting to break out. Hey, I hope he does. But that said, I don't have nearly as much confidence in Kirkwood, or certainly I don't have that much nothing personal against Austin Carr. He's a nice player, but, none of those guys strike fear into the hearts of men. Okay, you know, so outside of Thomas and Kamara, and Ginn, who as you mentioned, still has speed, some pretty impressive speed for his age, kind of reminds me of Deshaun Jackson with not as good hands. But, you know, it's a toss-up. It really is a toss-up. And I think, and look, and you and I, we've discussed this ad nauseum. You know, Drew Brees makes heroes out of everybody. He made a hero out of Lance Moore and Devery Henderson and people like that. So there's no reason to suspect otherwise that it won't happen again this season. Maybe this is the year Austin Carr just, you know, does his next best Julian Edelman impression and catches nearly 100 passes. I doubt it. But that's just the type of that's just the way that the Saints have always been. They just plug guys in. It doesn't really matter. You don't have to be in the All-Pro. You don't have to be an elite caliber, top 10 All-American receiver coming out of college. If you can run a route and you can catch the ball cleanly, you have a chance to succeed in the New Orleans Saints passing offense.
We're talking with Barry Hursis, who covers the New Orleans Saints for the Saints News Network and Big Easy Magazine. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Barry, tell me a little bit about the defense. What are you looking for from that side of the ball, especially matching up against such a dynamic, athletic, and accurate quarterback that they have with the Texans in Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, look, to me, and for everybody listening, you know, I think the Saints offense versus the Texans defense is going to be fine. I think that's going to turn out the way we expect that it will. For me, the number one matchup in this game tonight, by far and away, is the Saints secondary and specifically the cornerbacks, as you mentioned, going head to head with that, and not just two guys. We're talking. I think Kiki is playing tonight, so that's four wide receivers. You got Hopkins, Fuller, Kenny Stills, who they just got from Miami 2 weeks ago, and now you got the TC Kuti kid coming back. That's four quality wide receivers against that Saints secondary. So that to me, that would be my primary concern tonight as a Saints fan, is how I'm not going to predict doom and gloom, but we saw how last year's season opener turned out against Ryan Fitzpatrick, okay?
Fitz magic, Barry. Watson. It was Fitz magic.
Yeah, exactly. Who coincidentally appears to have lost his job in Miami of all places. But that said, this is the National Football League. This is a dangerous Texas team. Just think about this much. We've been bagging on these guys, and I'm talking about the Texans, about their upper management and their notable problems off the field as far as Bill O'Brien, the head coach, who's the de facto general manager as well, and a lot of the controversial trades he's made in the last few weeks, which is one of the reasons why people maybe don't fear that defense as much as they had previously. But that offense, man, is still the same. And look, I get that, and I even wrote the article. I get that their running game is a little bit in a state of flux because they lost Lamar Miller. They're going to be throwing Carlos Hyde out there, but they still got Duke Johnson, who they acquired in the trade with Cleveland. He's a very serviceable guy coming out of the backfield. He can do a lot of things. I think that he'll have some impact, but by far and away, RP3. They have got to stick with these wide receivers. I think Lattimore will be fine on DeAndre Hopkins. I kind of feel like those two guys cancel each other out. So to me, the number one matchup to watch tonight is Will Fuller, the number two wide receiver, going one-on-one with Eli Apple. Because, brother, that to me is the one I'm worried about personally. Look, I hope Eli balls out. I hope he has a phenomenal performance tonight. That said, that's the one that worries me.
We're talking with Barry Hursis of the Saints News Network and the Big Easy Magazine. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Barry, break it down. You can give it can be more than one. It can be two things, or a few things. Hell, it could be three. What do the Saints need to do tonight to start the season off with a win, which is something they have struggled to do in the Sean Payton era?
Okay, well, that's an excellent question. Number one, pass rush. Because, you know, what's the one thing we always invariably come back to with the Saints that as a fan base or as a observer, as people that cover the team every day, what's the first thing we always – that comes out of our mouth saying, well, we wish they could improve that? It's the pass rush. And I'm not – you know, look, Cam Jordan, we know what kind of commodity you got in this guy. You know, Sheldon Rankins, when he's fully healed, we know what kind of interior pass rush you're going to get with that guy. It's that other side. It's that opposite side. It's the same side we've been fretting about for the last, what, 5-6 years, ever since Junior Gallette got cut or whatever. You know, Davenport, man, love him. phenomenal talent, but that kid's got to step up, and he hasn't yet. So don't be shocked when a guy like Trey Hendrickson, of all people, steps up and winds up being a hero tonight, you know, if he can come away with a few sacks. But definitely the pass rush. I would say the next thing would be you want to keep him honest with the run game. That doesn't mean that Kamara's got to rush for over 100. But I would ideally him and Latavius Murray combined rush for over 100 yards. I think that would be that obviously would be a key. And then of course, what does every NFL game come down to? Turnovers and protecting the ball security. So those three things: pass rush, establishing the run. Don't have to trample over them like Derrick Henry did to the Browns yesterday. But, you know, a firm, a solid rushing attack, and then obviously limiting the turnovers.
Barry, one final question. We're wrapping things up here with Barry Herstis of the Saints News Network and Big Easy Magazine. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Barry, do you believe the Saints need to come out and get a W tonight? I know it sounds crazy to say that. Everyone else in the NFC South lost, okay? Right. So they're automatically in first place even before they start the game. But do you think just for them to be able to purge what happened to them last year, the way the season ended in the NFC Championship game, do you feel like the Saints need to come out here and get a win versus a playoff team from a year ago in the Houston Texans?
Absolutely, I do, and not only just for the reason you just gave, but for one other reason, which is you've got the Rams and the Seahawks back-to-back in the next two games, and that means that they're going out to the West Coast, and they're not coming back to New Orleans till what, the middle of week four probably or something, so they're going to be literally out of town for the next few weeks, and to me, you got to win tonight because that sets the tone for the entire first portion of the season. If you come out 0-1 and then go out to L.A. to the Coliseum and lose to the Rams, God forbid, and start off 0-2, and then you got to go to Seattle and the 12th man, and man, look, it could snowball and get ugly quick. As much as we love this football team, and as much as we think they're a legit Super Bowl contender, and we have no reason to suspect otherwise, brother, they gotta set the tone. And to me, it's almost critical that they win tonight. So yes, absolutely, 100%, I agree with you in that aspect.
Barry, appreciate you coming on, giving us the Monday Night Football preview, brother. Enjoy yourself tonight. Look, pace yourself. Make sure you stay hydrated throughout the day. We need you to be 100% at tonight's game, my man.
You got it, brother.
Barry Hurst, as he joins us there on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Every Monday, he helps break down, either recap or give us a preview for our Who Dats. We got to take our final timeout of the day. We'll come back. We'll update you on the poll question and say goodbye. You're listening to Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. We're also simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. That's free over there, 24-hour sports coverage. You can also find us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. Reminder, we got you covered today. Coach O press conference will be later today. Midday, 12:10 to 1 o'clock right here on 103.7 The Game. We'll pull away from Jim Rome's show, bring you Coach O's presser live right here on 103.7 The Game. Also, Jordy Holberg show from 2 to 4, and then the good brother Ben Love is back on the airwaves, host of Bumper to Bumper Sports from 4 to 5:30. Ben's only got an hour and a half because he's going to lead you up to pregame Houston Texans, New Orleans Saints right here courtesy of Westwood One. Texans Saints, first of the two games on Monday Night Football. We'll have both of them for you back-to-back. Texans Saints, then Broncos at Raiders, and Antonio Brown-less Raiders. But 5:30 will start the pregame action for Texans at Saints. The good brother Ben Love will lead you up to that. Also, reminder, Astros will be over on our sister station KVOL tonight, 97.7 FM, 1330 AM. That is the Rewind. Athletics at Astros. That begins a four-game set for the Stros at home versus their AL West rivals. Astro launch will start at 6:35, first pitch 7:10. And once again, guys, tomorrow, don't forget, Ben Love will be live from Pete's on Johnson. It's the return of the Prep Power Hour. He'll be broadcasting live from 4 to 7 there on Pete's on Johnston. He'll also be featuring Southside High. The Sharks got their first win of the season on Friday versus Northside. Did so in convincing fashion. And by the way, you can listen to all your Southside High football, you Shark fans, on Mustang 107.1. I want to take a moment here to thank all of our guests helping us kick off the week on the right foot. Damon Mason, the UL Raging Cajun football legend and UL Athletic Hall of Famer, joining us. Also, Jeff Palermo from the Louisiana Radio Network and our boy Barry, Barry Hurstis. Make sure to go to 1037thegame.com. Vote on today's poll question. With his performance against Texas now in the books, do you think Joe Burrow should be considered a candidate for the Heisman Trophy? Early voting says 83.3%. Yes! Go Tigers. It's been a tremendous show. Y'all be safe out there today. Be kind to one another. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. This is RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.